What kind of insurance is right for me? Am I covered properly? What is a personal umbrella? Can I rebuild my house if it burns? Welcome to Peace of Mind, the radio show that helps you navigate through the complexities of the world of insurance. Brought to you by More Insurance Services, Mountain Insurance in Murphy, and Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. And now your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore.
Hello, I'm Mark Moore with my wife, Kathy Moore.
Hello.
How are you doing today, Kathy?
I'm doing good. It's nice and cold.
It is cold.
Yes.
Yes, it is. So I guess we think about people's freezing pipes this time of year.
Yes, we do.
It's not
Make
really,
sure you winterize your
probably
RVs,
not cold enough.
Boats.
I mean, probably not.
Your house, if you're not going to be there.
That's a good point. It's time to winterize.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we see the claim come in on a really deep freeze. Like it's
right.
You know, down to 10 degrees for a couple
right.
days. But yes, it is time to winterize, so I'm doing that myself.
Or your pools.
The pool, yes. We're trying to hopefully prevent a claim there. So we're going to continue our discussion last week. We had talked about workers' compensation.
Yes.
And I also said that, you know, this being a show that we're trying to make universal to most people, we don't really veer into commercial insurance that much. But we thought about workers' compensation. If you have a job,
right,
or if you hire somebody to work at your house, you probably need to be aware of certain things when it comes to, you know, if somebody does get hurt, what is a good measure to take, or what do I do as far as thinking about if somebody's working for me and they get injured, or if you're an employee and you get injured,
right,
what do you need to know about that? I've got an article here that this story had garnered national news attention back in 2008. There was an employee at a McDonald's named Nigel Haskett. He was 21, and he was shot on the job at McDonald's. And what really got people up in arms was that his workers' compensation claim was denied.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I personally feel that maybe technically that was the correct answer. I don't have the rest of the story. I'm trying to find out. I've got the article here. I remember it happened, but I don't have the outcome of whatever happened to it. It was initially denied. And what happened was there was a patron of McDonald's that was being assaulted. She was a female patron. The attacker went to his car, it says here on the story here, and retrieved a gun and shot Haskett several times as he stood in the front of the door to prevent the assailant coming in to try to attack this lady, I guess. So the police and the public have held Haskett's actions as heroic, which I think so too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But the workers' compensation carrier denied the claim.
Hmm.
So they said that it was not part of his, quote, scope of employment. That wasn't in his job description to go out and, you know, prevent an attack.
Right.
But I think that was really, you know, we see so many lawsuits all the time, and we see things that are not, in my opinion, are not like, just like maybe premises liability.
Right.
We're seeing people get tagged on claims all the time.
Right.
Like some drug deal goes down in the parking lot,
and
people are getting millions of dollars because they were injured.
Right.
But in this case here, it was denied. I've been trying to go through the internet here, because this is where I get my information from a lot of times, obviously. Anybody can read these stories and pull them up. But I've never been able to find what the outcome was as far as I know he appealed this decision, and I don't know if he ever got paid anything or not. I mean, I would think that he would have had, in today's world, I'm sure a GoFundMe account would be set up, and people would have contributed to his medical bills. But that was pretty harsh when you're just a young 21-year-old kid. You know, you're not doing up no good. You're trying to be a good Samaritan. You're trying to, you know, prevent a crime. And then you come back later and find out that, nope, we're not paying it. But
right.
what do you think about that, Kathy?
Well, I feel like he's heroically helped this lady that was going through a bad situation. So I think that's good. But I don't know. Because it isn't, I get what they're saying, it's not in the scope of his employment. They didn't ask him to do that. I can understand from an employer's situation, it's a bad thing going down in their...
It's terrible PR.
Yeah, bad PR.
It was terrible PR for McDonald's.
Well, it's bad PR it's just a bad situation that went terribly wrong. So I do feel like there are rules and regulations when it comes to workers' comp, and you have to follow this, what the rules are, the state and how they do it. But in this situation, it's kind of one of those things you think, well, that isn't making much sense. But
here's, it says on the article I'm reading, you know, the employee, they're saying if he'd signed an employment handbook, which we actually have one of those in our office as right. well, and that's another topic. But we, there's some word in here that, you know, if the employee did foresee the possibility of a dangerous situation, and if the handbook gave strict instructions for the employee not to engage in it, that would pretty much qualify that he was not, that right. was not part of his employment.
Right.
So,
or his job description.
Yeah, and right. it's not part of the scope of his employment.
I don't think they can put everything in your complete job description, what you're supposed to be able no. to do either. So,
so
it's going to get kind of dicey.
This has happened in 2008, and I don't know exactly what happened. I mean, I know that it was initially denied, but I know they did appeal this decision, and I've not been able to find what was the outcome of that. It happened in Little Rock, Arkansas, mm-hmm. where this happened. So if you're on the job, you've got to be sure, you know, if you're covering workers' compensation, that you are in your scope of employment.
Right.
You know, if you go home and, you know, you eat lunch on the in the company truck and that wasn't part of your, you know, scope of employment, you probably will not have be considered part of your job duties where you're eating lunch, possibly.
Right.
And maybe if you're, you know, if you're a long-haul trucker and you stop and get somewhere, that could be. Mm-hmm. And I know one where, I don't know if I'll tell a story or not, but I heard about the story that there are certain places on the side of the road you can go,
right.
okay? And you see him going to Florida. Mm-hmm. And this one trucker would always, well, he was a patron of this certain place, which was, you know, some of you would not want to go, obviously. It's just, but you have lunch there. They have also have entertainment there. Let's put it that way, okay?
Oh, boy.
And he was injured during this, I guess, while he was there. And they filed a workers' compensation claim, and he got paid for this because they said that was his normal part of his job was to go eat, you know, while he's on the road, even though it was a place of entertainment. So that was interesting that they had ruled that as part of being his. I heard this in an insurance class one time. So that happened years ago. Kate's making a bad face at me, but it's a true story.
What a great example.
Yeah, but you wouldn't expect that would be covered. Like, you wouldn't expect going to eat lunch somewhere and, you know, you're entertained while you're there.
Well, if you were, maybe you're a salesperson and or a like a rep and you're taking maybe your client out for lunch or maybe an attorney or something like that, you have different types of things that you actually, you take people out for lunch or, you know, you do different things.
So that would be, I would think it would be part of your employment.
Right.
I guess I considered it was his right. because he had to go eat somewhere. You know, he's got a truck out there that he's hauling goods on or whatever. So that was interesting. Another one we had that I read about was a this lady. Let me pull it up here. She was a worked at a fire station, an EMT. This happened in the state of Georgia. It says here she sat down to complete some paperwork after returning to the fire station from a call. She stayed at the desk watching television while on the call. As the EMT got up to let a supervisor use her desk, she heard a pop in her knee. The pain increased to the point where she sought treatment for a local emergency room. She needed surgery and a possible knee replacement. The employee applied for workers' compensation benefits. The administrative law judge granted benefits because the EMT had needed to be in the location as part of the work and suffered the injury while following directions from her supervisor. The employer appealed. So the Court of Appeals in Georgia says that the burden falls on the injured employee to prove that there was a direct cause between the employment and the injury. The appeals court cited the peculiarity of the work doctrine, meaning the risk was not casually connected to the employment and was a risk that the employer was equally exposed to outside of employment.
Mm-hmm.
So the majority held that the EMT was unable to prove that her work injury, or I guess her injury, was caused by being an employee there.
Right.
So that was one that initially was approved, And then they overturned it by a Georgia Court of Appeals.
Right.
What do you think about that one, Kathy?
Well, I think that, you know, there's a lot of sides to every story. And I think that, you know, of course, with workers' compensation, you see all sorts of lawyers and different things that you see all the time. But I have heard of people and seen it in different people that we've insured that their employees at some time have done something on the outside on the weekend and came back in, and now they have an injury. And they come up with something. We've seen people try to file claims that
we,
are.
We think we've seen some that are definitely and then fraudulent. Of course, and I've had employers definitely thought they were fraudulent.
Yes, and then we've got where the adjusters have to come out and get involved and do this investigation. And it's really quite of a story. So there's definitely both sides of the story. And of course, someone's injured and needs to have workers' compensation. I think that's something that, that is there for that. So
well, you're required to have it if you had three or more employees. Right. And if you do work at a job, it's very good to have, know that you are covered there.
Right.
So we're going to be back after the break talking more about this, and we will discuss workers' compensation and also what do we need to do as an employee or employer when it comes to workers' compensation. My name is Mark Moore, Kathy Moore, and we'll WGRB Talk of the Mountains.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind, here to help you find out if you need more insurance. Once again, your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore with More Insurance.
Welcome back. This is Kathy Moore with my husband, Mark Moore, and we're wanting to let you know where our locations are. We have three locations for More Insurance Services, Inc. One is located in Hazel, North Carolina on Highway 64. We're next to United Community Bank. You can come by and see Mandy Sosby, Emily McKeon, Diane Lampe, Amy Kitchens, Vaughn Hobbs, and Mark and myself were in that location majority of the time. I would like to help you with insurance there. We have our second location, which is in Hiawassee, Georgia, which is on 150 South Main Street, Suite C, right next to the hospital in the red brick building in Town Trace. Come by and see Rose there. And then we have our third location, which is in Blairsville. We are actually in the South State Bank building. We're not part of the bank, but we're in the building itself. And we're also across from the post office and Home Depot. So come in there and see us and check out and see Ashley Miller, Joanne Grizik, as well as Cindy Odom and Greg Buchanan for your insurance needs there in Blairsville. We also have another location in Murphy. It's called Mount Insurance. It's a division of More Insurance. It's right there on Highway 64, right past the Arby's on the left. Come by and see Velda Dockery and Heather Temple there. And our last location is Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. It's a division of More Insurance as well. It's right past United Community Bank, and it's between United Community Bank and the Burger King right there. That's right there in Blue Ridge. And you come by and see Kathy Hunter, Carrie Van Zandt, and Jeremy Payne. And also our newest one, Cody Webb, to help you with your insurance there in Blue Ridge. You can also check us out on our website, which is www.more-insurance.com. You can check out all these podcasts on the website as well, and you can request a quote.
Thank you. So today we're talking about workers' compensation. You know, a lot of people here are retired. They don't worry about workers' compensation.
Right.
But, you know, you may have somebody come and work at your house. Right. And Kate and I advise, you know, somebody's working on your house, it's good to have, you know, a certificate of insurance to make sure they have insurance. Because right. If they get on your premises, you don't have to deal with anything like that.
Right.
Even though you may not be responsible for it, it's just a good measure to have that taken care of. You don't have to worry about
right.
it. So before the break, we talked about the claim in Georgia where a lady was at a desk. She stood up. Her knee popped. Had to have a knee replacement. And it was initially granted coverage, and then it was appealed by the Georgia Court of Appeals, and they said that this could happen anywhere. Basically, right. They said that because the employee simply rose up from a seated position and not slip, trip, or fall, that they said that it was not connected to her work. Those words are kind of haunting because I remember we had one years ago, and this employer was so upset because he had two work comp claims in a year. The first employee he thought was just totally bogus. The guy's faking it. He got hurt somewhere else. And the insurance company we had actually paid the claim on that one. And then one he felt that was legit, they denied the guy's claim. And it was very similar to this because he hurt his knee and it was ruled that you had to have a trip, slip, or fall. And it wasn't any of those. It was just like when they just popped out of place, and that was not considered a workers' compensation claim. They denied it, and I didn't like that. I thought that he should have been covered, but you know, it's not my place to tell who's covered and who's not. We're not adjusters, so that's something the claim adjuster has to investigate. I do know there are probably knee-jerk reactions, no pun intended, but there is a lot of times where claims are maybe denied because there is a lot of fraudulent situations that do arise in workers' comp, particularly in like when you're sitting there on disability, when you end up getting a settlement, or not a settlement, but your medical bills paid, you're going home, and they replace. It's kind of like on these stimulus checks. You have people that are, getting paid for not working.
Right.
I mean, that might be. Well, it's my opinion was, I know we insure people. It was hard to get employees because a lot of people were sitting there and not coming back to work.
Right.
And that same thing happens on workers' compensation. What do you think, Kathy? Another thing to think about, too, you may be surprised to find out, and this happens because we had this situation arise with our fire departments that we insure, that a heart attack and a heat stroke are not workers' compensation claims.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit scary, isn't it?
Right.
Because you've got...
You need an accident policy for
that's
those.
What we do, yeah. Right. And this always bothered me because there were some times that I had these fire departments insured. I had one didn't have workers' comp years ago. They've got them now.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have a lick of workers' comp. And it was like $1,000 a year. They didn't want to pay for it. And I was like, guys, please, please, please buy this policy. At least you'll have some kind of coverage, if somebody gets hurt.
Right.
Because, if you're a volunteer... you may not fall underneath the workers' compensation law in the first place,
right?
But if your employer can get workers' compensation for you, that's a good thing to have. But then you have to also have an accident policy because that picks up the heart attack and the heat stroke
for the fire department, yeah.
And those are number one and two things that happen to a firefighter is a heart attack or heat stroke.
Well, I guess a big thing to talk about too, workers' comp, if you're interested in getting workers' comp. What information you'll have to have. So we need to determine what kind of work you're doing. You ought to have like the name of your business, if it's a corporation, LLC, sole proprietor, individual. We need to know that. If you have it's either by your social or it's by your tax ID number, tax ID number. You also need to know how many employees you have, full-time versus part-time. If you, the employer, want to be included or excluded. And then we also need to know about your payroll, like how much payroll for these different classifications of things, like maybe you have someone in the office that's clerical, and how much do you pay that person versus somebody maybe that's your GC and they're out for a general contractor and you're out people working for you, maybe doing trim work or maybe they're doing HVAC. So all these different classifications have to be determined, and then how much we're paying. The payroll of it,
it's a lot. It's a complexity of it,
right?
I mean, it really is. But it's based on your payroll,
right?
And that's how it's derived. And I guess the rationale is the more payroll you have, the more work's going on, and you have more exposure out there,
right?
So it's called I know we're getting maybe off this track a little bit for personalized show, but. It's called a provisional premium. You end up paying what you think you're going to have in payroll, and then there'll be an auditor that will come out.
Right.
And they're going to audit you to see how much payroll you actually had. And let's say you had $100,000 of payroll estimated, but then you end up having $150,000.
Right.
You're going to be getting a bill for the difference because you paid for $100,000, but you had $150,000.
Right.
Or it could be their way you get money back.
Right. But then also they will adjust as you renew, they'll adjust your newest policy to
based
off of the audit.
So let's go back to, just somebody that's working.
Right.
If you are injured on the job, I would definitely report it to your employer.
Right.
And they need they need to notify their insurance carrier.
And we have to pull out a first report injury form.
A lot of those now, there used to be a form that you would fill out. I'm seeing today there is normally... It can be done online, over the phone. It used to be something you had to fill out. But you definitely want to notify your employer and document it because you want to be able to have you know, that on the record in case something does, something small could turn into something larger later.
Right.
So we, this is a big topic. I think we could talk about this some more, couldn't we, Kathy? So anyway, we will be back and maybe talk about this some more. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay. All righty. Well, this is Mark Moore, Kathy Moore on WGRB, Talk of the Mountains.
Statements on this show as to policies and coverages and other content provide general information only, and no warranties are provided as to their accuracy. Listeners should consult with their licensed agent as to how these coverages pertain to their individual situation. Information provided on this show does not constitute professional advice. If you have insurance, legal, tax, or financial planning questions, you need to contact your qualified professional. All coverages are subject to the terms, conditions, and exclusions of the actual policy issued. Not all policies or coverages are available in every state.